Blog Talk Radio.
For doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness,
Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just give you glory and honor and praise, O Yah Elohim. And we magnify you on today and we lift you up, O Yah. We glorify you, for you are our Elohim, and there is none like you, Father. No, not one. So we just want to thank you and invite you into this meeting on tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Amen. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Go to 3. Psalms 133. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 3. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. A song of degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion, for there Yah commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Sister Mary, do you have the minutes from the last meeting? Okay. Not talking about the one where we watched the film, but the one before that.
Huh?
Not last week we watched the film, I believe. Okay. Okay. Yeah, if you will read those minutes, please.
Brother Miles, Lorraine, Mr. Denise, the session of the meeting was the first session of the meeting was out of the microphone. Brother Miles, let us know that you can get ready for the farmer's market on Wednesday, which is the 11th. And we saw how the vegetables were grown. And we also saw the phrase that Brother Miles is using for protection. Our second discussion was the bylaws. We discussed Section 11. Section 11.02 is the return of the security deposit. The pod membership coordinated. Section 11.03 is the for a year, leasing or not. Section 11.03, we all agreed on the contract. The person that signs the contract is responsible for the contract to see it through. And we all agreed, we voted and we all agreed on that. Section 11.03 was adopted on January 5th, 2023. Section 11.04 is the reasonable accommodation, and we're to start discussing that.
Okay, let's I want to change the wording of something that you said here.
Okay.
In this one, section 1103.
Uh-huh.
I don't think the wording is wrong in the section, but I think the way you have it written up here, we need to change it a little bit. Membership contract leasing or not leasing membership is for 1 year. Contract is in effect when contract is signed. Person signing the contract is obligated to uphold. Okay, I don't see anything wrong with there. I think I don't know if you read it exactly that way, but okay, I don't have a problem there.
Okay. I didn't read it like that.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that then. I think that you, the way it sounded, that whoever was taking the contract was responsible for upholding it or something like that. The way I heard it, at least.
Signing it is obligated. It's contract.
Okay, so I'm just going to put in parentheses here, contract. I think they would call that the contract E, like double E. So I'm going to share my screen so you guys can see what I'm doing. Then we're just going to vote on this. Okay, you should be able to see my screen now, so if you'll pull it up. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right. This is the minute I was just going through and reviewing them. Let's review. One page. Okay. So I'm just going to add here in parentheses. Just for clarity, mainly for my sake, section 11.04 tonight, reasonable accommodation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So I was going to say, I don't remember discussing that. Okay, so all right, so I'm going to make a motion that we approve the minutes as read with the correction or with the addition that I added in there, just in parentheses, contractee, that's who's responsible. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, so we're going to, the minutes are adopted as read and as modified. Let me save these. And I'll email everybody out a copy of these, like I usually do. All right. I have that. I'll email that out and close this. And I want to go here. I want to bring up a site. I told you guys about this site before. I started, I talked to the owner of this site, the guy that actually created it and runs it. His name is Dwayne Harris, right here. He's supposed to be coming to Phoenix. I think he's in Washington State or in, yeah, somewhere in Washington. And I took out a campaign. On this site right here, just started. And so this is introducing us and Yesteron Farms to this site in this community. And hopefully we get some traffic. I put $11 against it. I think it's like 5 cents a click or something like that. And then once that runs out, because what it does is it puts this ad up in front of everybody on the site.
Uh-huh.
And then if they are interested, then they'll click on it or view it. And then, you know, we'll try to generate some interest that way. Similar to Facebook. But this is all, rather than being Facebook, this is similar to Facebook, but it's all Hebrew Israelite people who are supposedly walking according to the faith, even though me and his brother had a, you know, sort of had a deep discussion of the problems that he had been having with our people, with the brothers, and, you know, I can understand the bottom line. But even when we say we're coming in the truth, a lot of us are still trying to run game and all this kind of stuff. And so he and I are going to, we're going to meet, we're going to, you know, he's all about action, just like I am. And so I think he's got on this site somewhere right around 4,000 members worldwide. Then he's got a few congregations in a few states. One here in Phoenix, but we're going to get together and talk and, you know, meet each other, fill each other out, see what we can't do together. I have been reaching out to him on this, and the site is called Hebrew Connect. And then also he has HebrewConnect.tv. And I may start doing lessons on that. I have to rearrange my desk in my office so that I can be on the webcam because it's like a TV station, but you have your own channel. It's there from here where we're at with Blog Talk. So I may take us there. I'm trying to figure out how to do live streams on this particular site. He has two sites. HebrewConnect.com and HebrewConnect.tv. And so this is more so focused, you know, on our people. And I'm fine with that. I don't think I'm going to totally give up the Blog Talk Radio quite yet, because we're still reaching new countries. Like we have who was new? Yeah, two new countries that we didn't have before. People started listening. China was one. We didn't have anybody in China before, so there are some people listening now in China. And then Mexico. No, Japan. No, that one's not right. Which one is? No, Italy. Italy is up at the asterisk in the wrong place to identify it. So new people in Italy listening. So that puts us up to 31 countries that we're in right now that people are actively listening, downloading broadcasts and things like that. And so I don't think I want to give up this platform 100% yet, but I am going to be moving toward doing something on this site as well. Commented on a few posts and things like that that people have made. He was telling me, you know, he was trying to correct a brother on, in a blatant mistake that he made in the scriptures, and he says, you know, our people don't like to be corrected. I said, yeah, I know. I've run into that and had to walk away from some people for that very reason, that, you know, they don't want to be corrected. But if you can show them in the scriptures where they're wrong, then they should be able to accept that. But they don't always accept it. So so that's this one area, that one site that we're going to be moving to. We'll become more active on it. One of the sisters, Sister Laura, reached me. She shared the thing about the the video, the Journey of Man. She shared that video on Facebook, so she was asking, you know, if it was okay, and I might see some increased traffic from that. You know, I reached back out to her, and, you know, and thanked her and said, hey, if you are open to it, I know she listens. She don't always call in. But she'll listen to the broadcast over the web or whatever. If she, you know, if she does the social media, then if she would be interested in taking that on, and eventually it'll become a paid position. I can't pay her right now. But as we pick up traffic, then I'd be willing to make it a paid position, because social media is one of the things that, you know, I need to increase working on, but I don't have time to actually do all this and do the social media, you know, and keep track of it every day and that kind of stuff and post. So I would like her to do it on not necessarily Facebook, but start it on this site right here, Hebrew Connect, and just, you know, go out there and make different posts, whether it's just a Shalom, Happy Sabbath, whatever. You know, she'd be responsible for doing those things and then keeping track of the campaigns and those types of things. So, I, you know, the campaign is worldwide, and I'm just looking for people to either who are interested in joining the community, or people who are willing to help, you know, financially, who want to donate. They want to support that way. They can't move or whatever, but they may be willing to support it, you know, financially. But we'll see what happens from that. All right, so that is what is going on here. And then on Yesharon Farm, I had put this out here, and this has been up here for a while, and one, you know, like I said, a couple of people have subscribed using this, and then I found out that is not doing exactly what I want it to do. And so I'm going to change it, because these prices, what it was doing is, if you select, let's say we just put all this way, then refresh this. All right, so if they make the selection, they say every 2 weeks, and they want a basic salad, and they get to pick up to four different types of microgreens. And I need to look at these, too, because that's only coming up with basic salad mix. And this is only coming up with that. Yeah, no, it should be like these right here. Where they're able to select from, you know, any one that I'm growing. And Well, I know. I started redoing this. But it'll configure the price and tell them, you know, what the setup cost is and what have you. The problem is that these different greens, they cost different. And so I can't just put a, you know, a static price. I could, you know, and take a hit where I'm using the more expensive one, but I wanted to account for, I got it here. So I was redoing it right here, and that's why I was coming up saying that, you know, the product's not available. Each one of these, like let's say that there's all these different, you know, you should start off basically with the basic salad mix, and then you could do all basic salad mix, and then that would be a price. But then they, if they mix it and say they want three basic salad mix and they want a bread and butter, or three salad mixes and a broccoli. So all these different variations I have to account for and price them. And that's what the site wasn't doing. It was giving, you know, it was just saying pick any four greens and it's this amount per month or this amount every 2 weeks. But that doesn't really reflect the current pricing if I go, let's see if I do something different here. I'm going to say weekly 4 ounces. Now, this is working the way that I want it to. So they can, now this is a subscription based upon the wellness mix. So they'll get a 4 ounce wellness mix, and then they can ask for also, in addition to that, like a 4 ounce broccoli. Okay. And these are all 4 ounces quantity. A different, so it's a wellness mix then plus a 4 ounce of another microgreen. And this one doesn't show everything, and I'm trying to figure out why it's not showing them all. But if I go, let's say if I click on one of these, so if I click this one, they can eventually they'll be able to select a larger container. So I'm doing 4 ounce, 8 ounce, and 16 ounce containers. So 4 ounce container. Let's say this one is every 2 weeks. Wellness mix, that's a given for that one is broccoli. And then however many, so they get one wellness mix, or they can choose however many wellness mixes they want, up to 7. So they say they want 7 wellness mixes every 2 weeks. And plus they want, let's say 3 of these broccoli. Okay, then now I got to look and see why it's not calculating that, but it should calculate that in the price. Tell them, you know, how much it costs to sign up. So let's see if I got. Oh, I know why. Yeah, there is no, once I get up to 7, I couldn't do any more variation. So if I do 6. And let's say 6 or 7, I can do 7 here, and it should be able to calculate this. So this would be their price if they wanted to do that, $4.64 a month. Now, I don't see individuals doing that, but restaurants may want to. Okay, so mostly like the ones that are under now, they're doing every 2 weeks, but they're doing like, they will say like 1 and 1. So they'll say 1 wellness mix and 1 broccoli. And so there's this amount, big difference. Okay, with a $25 sign-up fee. And, you know, the people who are doing it, you know, they're not stuffing at the prices or anything like that. So this is, you know, I'm doing what the market will bear. And So maybe I'll go back and I'll change this. I can't really change this right here. But if the program was working another way, then I could tell it, you know, if they selected, let's say they selected 7 here, and I know I don't have an option for anything other if they select 7-1. That's the highest it goes here, so it should calculate that. So that it'll calculate that, but if they said they wanted 2 of the secondary green, which is like this right here, then it'll say it didn't have an option for that because I couldn't create any more options, any more variations. I've gone back to the developers and said, you know, where can I change it in the script? I think for this, if it was to work the way I wanted it to work, I would need something like, with the current products that we have, the number of, you know, how often we're allowing them to for delivery, whether it's once a week, whether it's once every 2 weeks or once a month, that's wrong right here. I think the label on this is wrong. Okay, this would be bi-weekly here, every 2 weeks. All right, so I'll have to change that too. But anyway, I would need something like 1,150 variations to cover all possibilities of what somebody would be able to do ordering, once a week, once a month, once every 2 weeks, then the different microgreens, like this is only going to show broccoli because I'm, you know, restricting them to that. I could have it show every one, but then I'd have to go through and it just wasn't working. It wasn't enough variations for me to put in all that price. And so I made it specifically to, you know, the wellness mix plus this microgreen. Then the other subscription will be the wellness mix plus a different microgreen, and then I have different prices. So I'm still working on this. Trying to finalize it and get it to where it, you know, that it's working the way I want it to work. So the nomenclature here, the only thing problem with this one is this should say bi-weekly microgreen wellness rather than weekly. I didn't change that up front when I did it, or maybe this is one of the first ones that I did. So this is how they're ordering, and then I think I need to put a blurb in here that if they go that high, they can only order 1 secondary. If they order like 7 wellness mixes every 2 weeks, then it's, you know, they can call me and I can do it on the back end, but the site won't support them ordering 2 or 3 of the secondary greens like broccoli. So they'll be ordering 7 wellness mixes, and the secondary is they can order 1. If they try to order 7, then it just, you know, anything more than 1 in that place, it just comes up and will tell them no product match. If they did 6 and then tried to do 7, it should work, because I was able to get, you know, that many variations to work. So to calculate that way, so once they do 7, then the most they can do is 1. Then they'd have to call me, you know, and I'd have to do it on the back end if they wanted to do 7 and, you know, and more than 7 and more than 1 or 2 every 2 weeks. I'd give them the price. So this is where we're at with this. And I will put a blurb in here that, you know, you can do up to 7 wellness mixes and 1 secondary. But you can do 6, you know, 7, you can do 7 and 1, but then, you know, you can go 6 and do all the way up to 7 for the secondary. And if you count that, that's like 50 variations as high as I could get it to create at one time for one product, 50 variations. So, again, this particular software that I'm using doesn't allow me to modify the back end where I can say, okay, no matter what they select, then look it up in a table and then use that multiplied and here's the price. It just doesn't work that way. I have to actually manually put this in how the back end looks. So each one of those variations, I have to go in and program and put in the price, make it a subscription, and once I make it a subscription, then Mother say they're billed every 30 days, and then, you know, there's a sign-up cost. So and I'd have to do this for all 50 variations, one at a time. And so it's kind of cumbersome to do it. Anyway, I took down the one for the single subscription. No, not the one for single. This is where they can order a subscription. If they wanted to buy one at a time, I corrected that today. And then the subscription started reworking those so that I could get these other options. And I know that we go all the way to four. I know there's probably some options missing here because I'm thinking five times seven is 35. One, two, three, one, two, four. I'm thinking I need probably close to 200 here, variation. So it's still working on basic salad mix selected. And I need that in there. Factor three.
Shut down the single prescription?
No, the single prescription. This is one. This is this one, and it's shut down right now because I'm working on these different either I'm gonna have to do it this way, or I'm gonna have to let them just be able to pick four different microgreens and just give it a flat price for those four. And that would be the simplest way. That's where I had it. I think I may go back to that. This is 50 variations, or I'm going to have to break it up like I broke the other one up. And I think I'm going to have to do that, break it up that way. This is every 2 weeks, and it got over 50 variations just in every 2 weeks. And so I think what I'm going to do with this one is just come up with a flat pricing scheme like I had, and that way it only be how often would be every 2 weeks or every week. I'm getting rid of the monthly on this one because I realized that it depends upon what quantity, maybe I'll put it back. I think I need to do it by quantity here. Not quantity, but need to do this by size. So 2 ounce, 4 ounce, 8 ounce, 16 ounce. And do every 2 weeks. And not make these, just make these drop down, let them select whatever one they want it. And whatever size it is, then it's going to be complicated. It's complicated, period. But I'll have to figure this one out. The way I have done, and I'll come back to this. Just remember, I got to work it. Is that Yanni out here?
Yes.
Mr. Yanni?
They're listening to you.
And yawning.
No, I didn't yawn. I
that,
did.
That was Sister Denise. That's Sister Yanni. All right. So this is the way to buy weekly, the monthly, and the weekly. You have to create all these different variations. For, you know, and this is just 4 ounces. Now I need to go through and create them for 8 ounces and 16 ounces. And this is like 2 pages of subscriptions, different variations. And each one of these is 50 variations. So it's a lot of back-end work. So what I did was create a spreadsheet with the different, you know, microgreen, and then, you know, how much it costs for 4 ounces, and then did the calculation so I can just punch this in on the website. So like these, you know, on a monthly subscription, or, and this is the Wellness Mix Plus, let's say sunflower, or the Wellness Mix Plus pea shoot, is the way this is done. So a lot of back-end work still yet needs to be done, and I'm going to need to get that probably finished within the next couple of days, at least back up to where it was, to close the site down until I get it done. Okay, so that's what I've been working on most of today. I was finishing getting, like, I didn't have fenugreek and I didn't have the pea shoots done, so I finished those today. So all of the 4 ounce subscriptions are done. And now, as I said, I got to go back and redo it and make sure the wording is correct. So if this says, if this says every 2 weeks, then it should be bi-weekly here. Make sure the nomenclature is correct. And then do it for 8 ounces and do it for 16. And then this portion will be done. Let's see what else. Oh. Also been doing some updating to Yesteron Farms from here. The cooperative, the community. So just updating the site so that when people go there, I lost the other information I had there, so I had to recreate this. And so if you go here, then you'll get the gist of what we're trying to do. And this is for people like that click on from Hebrew Connect. If they click on the link, then it'll bring them directly here. But I still have to do the vision and the mission statement because I lost those. I have to redo them. And I'll check all these links. Yeah, most of these point to videos or something else that we've done. So been updating this, trying to make sure that it is at least up to date as far as where we're at. Okay, so any questions on anything so far?
No, I don't have any questions.
I know you don't sleep. Okay, let me bring up our bylaws. Not what I want.
So what was you doing to the vision and the mission statement?
Redoing them.
Oh, okay.
Because the other computer that I had everything on, site came up corrupted, or the database did, and so the information that I had in there before disappeared. The site didn't disappear, but it wouldn't come up where I could edit it, so I just made a clone of it and started recreating the stuff that was lost. And then I created a, you know, so that I don't run into that in the future. Then I had to write scripts to actually do backups to make sure that the information is backed up. So I did that. I worked on that earlier in the week and got it to where it makes a complete copy of the website and the databases for Yah's Global Kingdom and for Yes to Run Farms. That it backs it up to another computer so that should it become corrupt again, then I can just restore from the backup. And it backs it up every day, so I don't have to, you know, if I make change, only thing I have to worry about if I made some changes right now, I don't think it backs it up until like 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, if something became corrupted right now, if I made changes now and they became corrupted, they wouldn't be backed up. I'd have to go back and make those changes again. But trying to make it back up constantly takes up a lot of disk space. So let's see here. We're in Section 11.
11.04.
All right, Section 11.04, reasonable accommodation policy. And everybody can see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. All prospective or current YFCC members may apply for a reasonable accommodation or modification on the basis of physical or mental disability at any time during their membership application process or residency at YFCC Cooperative Pod. YFCC members are tenants in YFCC Cooperative Pods, and prospective members are those who are applying for membership tenants. Okay, so I am thinking these accommodations, if we're accepting people with physical and mental disabilities, then, you know, I would say right now, I could see us taking somebody who maybe have a physical disability. I'm not really sure about a mental disability.
Okay.
And the reason that I say that is, you know, I probably can't really hold that against someone, a mental disability. It depends upon what their mental disability is. I guess it depends on what their physical disability is. And then how would they be contributing to the community?
Right.
But, you know, if somebody was wheelchair bound and they want to be a member of the community, we need to talk about this. Because we can have, you know, we can make the quarters, the housing wheelchair accessible from the beginning. Just built in, so there's a ramp, you know, rather than you walking up the stairs, you walk up a what ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could just, you know, that's just a design issue where, or we add a ramp, you know, where we could add a ramp at the end, you know, on another end. So you still have stairs, but you have on the other end, they go up a ramp. And the ramp can't be too steep, so, you know, it'd have to run like the length of the porch and then what back up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too steep. I can see us doing that. And then, you know, all the facilities, common facilities, if we just built them that way from the beginning, then those type of accommodations would not have to be, they wouldn't have to request something like that because it would just be built in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, inside, I think in the design, the hallway would have to accommodate what a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure. I can't remember what was the we had for. For the hallway. I'm thinking it was 3 feet, standard doorway. So I'm thinking as far as accommodations, public, you know, their own quarters, we could modify their quarters. Their room would become a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
By about however many much we had to cut off for the hallway for them to access it and the door. And then any public, you know, any domes that we use for public access, we'd have to modify those. We haven't designed any of those yet, so I just have to make sure that we remember to put that into design. To come to visit someone, then, you know, they would be confined to probably their front room or their kitchen.
Uh-huh.
But the hallway probably wouldn't be wide enough, or it would probably be just wide enough. I don't think a wheelchair is 3 feet wide. We may not have to modify it, you know, at all. But, you know, you wouldn't be walking beside them. Because the container right now, the way we have them, they're only, 8 feet wide?
Right.
And so 8 feet wide by 20 feet long or 40 feet long. In order to get anything, you know, where we could do anything larger than that, then we would have to be getting larger domes, which is, I don't think we can do right now. Or we would have to double up on the shipping container and make it, 16 feet wide, which would allow us to do, you know, it'd be more floor space, wider hallways. Again, we'd have to look and see if that would fit inside that dome. And I think that it would. In the center, if we did double containers, again, that's going to add more cost?
Yeah.
So we have to discuss it and, you know, whether we're going to be from the beginning, because eventually, people like us get old. And we might, you know, we might need what, we never know what may strike us. We may need a wheelchair and what have you. So we have to really, we have to think this one out. We have to discuss. And then what are the choices that we have? Because if somebody's already, let's say it was me. Okay, I'm just going to use me as an example. I don't want to talk up nothing on anybody else. And let's say that I get to where I need a wheelchair. Then the community would have to have a way to accommodate that. Or if it's any, you know, if it's anybody else, the community would have to have a way to what? Accommodate that.
Right.
Whether it's modifying their quarters, and like I said, for the public facilities, you know, whether it's the dining area or, you know, any other area that we're going to have, if it's a building, then, you know, we just build this in to it by design. But then for the living quarters, I have to look and see what is the clearance required for, like, a wheelchair.
Right.
What's required by law. And if we were saying we were going to do that, then the central hallway, or we would need a redesign. Maybe more open air, so that you don't have as many walls, which means that if you don't have a wall, then you don't have a restriction there. You just need a way into the space so that you can go between spaces that's wide enough to accommodate the wheelchair.
Right. Get around.
Right. So, you know, we have to think about this one, and put this down for a minute. I'll have to look through all this stuff. Sorry, I know about the ramp, but standard doorway. So I think I allow for three feet, which is 36 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So the hallway would already be big enough for the wheelchair, which means we wouldn't have to change the size of the rooms. Okay. Yeah, I'll read these and see. But as far as design, I think we allowed for 3 feet hallways. So the door would basically take up the entire hallway. And when it opened, it would I would make them open inwardly into the room rather than open into the hallway. That way they open into an open space and not into the hallway itself. And I don't see this being a problem. The ramp, you know, again, we can have the stairs coming up, but then we'd have to build a ramp. That went to the end of the deck and then back around. So let's see if I have those pictures. So this is just as an example. This is not the ones we would be using. I want to use that one. Let's use this. All right, can you guys see these domes on my screen?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say that we're just going to say that this was the front of a ramp right here. I mean, the front of a space right here. Yeah, in here. Then there's no ramp here for a wheelchair. Everybody see the stairs there or the step?
Yeah.
So what we would have to do is off to the right or the left here, in this case probably off to the left, there would be a ramp that goes up and around that allows the wheelchair to go up it. So you could walk straight up the stairs, but the wheelchair would have to take the what? The ramp? And so, you know, that's just we just say like an 8-foot ramp, and rather than there being a rail right there, we would just take out that rail.
Put the ramp there.
Right, and the ramp would just go up to there.
Right.
And then they would be on, you know, on that level. So it's not something hard to do. It's just we got to make sure that we would include it in the design.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the doorways are standard door sizes, so then they would be able to enter into the door with no problem. We probably have to I don't know if that would have to be a little bit elevated or what. I have to look and see what the clearance is. Yeah, it may just require a different type of door step or something there. But they should be able to enter in with no problem. But we,
so
you know,
if we
go ahead.
So if we do, when we do the physical disability thing for the ramp, is that going to be like, you said, is how many pods is on the stand? So will that whole stand, you know what I'm saying, be for...
No. They won't be the pods and won't be this close, like in this picture. So each dome will have its own
access.
Yeah, its own access, and it'll have its own deck.
Okay.
So it'll be an individual tent. They won't be connected like this.
Okay.
And it won't be this close together.
Oh, okay.
But there'll be, you know, a walkway between them, like maybe a wooden walkway or something like that. Between them, that, you know, you wouldn't have to walk, you know, in the dirt or something like that. That pod, so they'll be grouped together, but they won't be grouped this close together.
Right.
So each pod would have to have its own ramp.
Right. That's the way we would, you know, the way it is designed, that the pods aren't connected. And let me see if I can find the picture of the one that The ones that we were looking at are similar to this. This design, let's see if this will come up. Let me try to get a better one. Not the one I want. No, that's not it either.
Living quarters will be arranged in pods similar to the image portrayed.
Could have joined Yeshivan Farms for the past. I'm commanding you to get out of here. All that you have to stand truly. If a man, how can he love Elohim? That's where I got all these stuff at.
I see you like deer.
You see I like deer. That's when I was trying to do the one of the logos.
Logo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what we're looking at right here. Are you guys able to see that?
Yeah.
So we got the dome, then we got the shipping container inside.
Right.
And so we would just have to, what, add a ramp, say
right.
This is extended out one way or the other, and then it comes back up with a ramp that comes up on this level so they can go in.
Mm-hmm.
Depending upon how far we spread these out, I'm thinking for the pod's sake and for community's sake, I mean, we could put one per acre, but that gives you a lot of room in between.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking that they're probably going to be grouped closer than that together. So we would probably try to do 10 per acre as far as a pod goes or something similar to that because you don't really need a whole lot of room. And the room inside your dome is really your personal space.
Right.
You know, and so everything else would be communal. So, you know, you have basically, if we went with this layout right here, you have basically your private space inside your dome. And then anything outside of that, even though it's your deck and stuff, then what will probably happen is maybe, I don't know the distance between, but maybe 50 or 100 feet, something like that, will be the next zone. So they wouldn't be right next to each other, but they wouldn't be an acre or apart either.
Right.
And that way we can, and I think, for what I'm looking for here, for brain dump, can't think of the word that I want, but oh, for them to be considered like a single dwelling,
uh-huh.
All we have to do is connect them with a walkway. So if we put a walkway in between here and the next dome, they're considered one. Because they're connected by that walkway in the state of Arizona. So we could get away with 10 domes being considered, what, one facility?
Right.
Okay. And so one big house or whatever. Just to get to buy some legal things if we need to.
Right.
But the way I think the way I showed it on that picture, even if we went with each space being 100 feet or 200 feet wide, which I think is an acre, then you would get, if this is center point right here running straight through there, you would get 100 feet on this side and 100 feet on that side. So this is like 39 feet. That's 18. So you get about 90 feet to the next dome, next property, like that. Start building, then, you know, we'll tighten up on all those things. But the domes won't be, I know for the glamping, we were going to do one dome per acre. But for our own living quarters, I don't think I want them that far apart. I mean, we want to have some semblance of privacy, but then we don't want to be feel like we're all secluded either.
Right.
That makes sense to everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then we want to make it, you know, and we may do this in such a way that keep in step of the original ideal, we want to make it to where they're, what, defensible?
Mm-hmm.
In case we have to, you know, anything comes down, we're able to defend ourselves.
Right.
So, you know, we'll look at it. It may be that the domes are only 10 feet apart as far as, you know, the this space in between here. And then they just go around in a circle, and we get 10 in a circle with a common meeting place in the center.
Yeah.
And we could probably put a dome there as well. That is a common meeting room. But it's connected to, you know, the other domes as far as the walkway or whatever. So we'll look at it. But, you know, I'm thinking that for defense purposes and what we had originally discussed and being able to defend ourselves should, you know, the worst come to worst, then we definitely wouldn't want to be spread out, you know, one per acre.
Right.
That makes for easy picking when it comes to, you know, somebody attacking. But if we do it, I think if we maybe make them 10 or 20 feet apart in a circle, we'll have a big circle, but nobody would be out of what, contact?
Right.
You still have your privacy. You know, you'd be able to close up your doors, your windows and stuff, you know, have your privacy. But you wouldn't be, you know, if it came down to it and we had to fight or we had to do anything like that, then we're not so spread out that it's indefensible.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll look at that. And I really do think that I prefer this round deck versus the square one.
I like the round, too.
But
I
you
know.
But we'll
so we're going to table the physical disability?
I think we need to discuss that. You know, no sense in moving on until we make a decision on it.
Right.
We can, you know, what is everybody's thought? Let's just start that way. I've spoken what I think. Let me hear what you guys think.
If we get people with physical disabilities, we got to accommodate them.
Right.
And if they're in a wheelchair, they got to get around.
Okay. Anyone else?
Same. I feel the same. Like you said, you never know when you might get in that situation.
Right. I mean, it could happen to any of us.
That's right.
Sister Lorraine, you off quiet over there.
I'm just listening. But I do agree that there should be a way to accommodate people with disabilities. And then in the bylaws, it said that they may put an application depending on that disability. Something else, then it's something that can be considered whether it can be accommodated or not. But I think there should be a way, especially like for wheelchairs or something like that.
Yeah, physical disabilities are one thing. Mental disabilities are completely different.
That's what we need to be talking about.
Well, it says they may apply. That doesn't say that we can accommodate that, you know. So it depends on what situation. There's very many different mental disabilities. So depending on that one, you know, it can or cannot be.
Well, I would say that I would qualify for a mental disability, or at least I will here shortly.
All right. Well, then we may approve your application then.
You better approve it. What you talking about? No, because I'm getting.
How mentalized you gotta be.
No, mine is, let's say, I'm getting classified now with PTSD. Or
what is that?
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
Where you have a, you might be struggling with, let's say in my case, with nightmares and stuff from being zipped up in a body bag. From something that you experienced years ago or recently.
Okay.
So it's just the way that you react to a stressful situation. Let's say all the people that went through 9/11, that saw people, you know, jumping from the buildings and stuff like that, or went into the buildings to, you know, search for bodies and things like that. It has an effect on you. And it can affect your mental health to where, you know, you are struggling with certain things. We as a people should just be classified with post-traumatic stress syndrome anyway, from what, you know, what we are forced to go through, you know, on a daily basis almost. Especially when it was, you know, times before the civil rights and even during the civil rights era, when they used to just, you know, they really considered us what, third class citizens, and they could do anything they wanted to us, just about, and mistreat us, and you know, so a lot of the people went through a lot of things. We would surely qualify up under the mental code as being suffering from post-traumatic stress, but they just expect us to deal with it. But because I was in the military and I dealt with, you know, processing a bunch of dead bodies and doing, you know, the average everyday person doesn't have to go through, then I can qualify for PTSD. Because it still affects me, and they would have to pay me for that. as far as the disability goes.
Okay, what if somebody was bipolar?
That is, again, is, you know, how do we accommodate that? Because most likely if they're bipolar, they're going to be on some type of med, or supposed to be. But maybe they're not. Maybe somebody's bipolar and they're dealing with it. But that means that they can what, be one way one minute and another way another?
Yep.
And so...
Sometimes violent.
Yeah. We would definitely have to know what they are dealing with and what they are, how they are at their worst. Because that's what we want to be, what, prepared for?
Right.
At their worst. You know, it's all good, you know, if you're fine and you just walk around eating bugs. But if you're prone to get knives and stuff and go after people, then that's a whole other thing. Okay. So we would, you know, we would definitely have to review it. That's why I say mental disabilities, they are wide and varied. And so definitely would have to be on a case-by-case basis. And then, you know, they would have to be willing to, what, release their medical information to somebody. Because I know some people that are bipolar, you could probably barely even tell that they were bipolar. But then there are some people who, you know, they make massive switches in personality. So,
what is that, like borderline, what is that called, schizophrenia?
Yeah. But schizophrenia is a, I don't know if they're even borderline schizophrenic. Because schizophrenic, your voice. People just have mood changes. You're talking to them and
dual personality, too.
Right. They get out of dual personality. I mean, my wife, I had to be careful when I woke up in the morning. I didn't know who I was waking up to.
That's scary.
Yeah, because she definitely had at least two different personalities. And, you know, I had to learn how to tell which one I was dealing with at the time or in that morning. Because she, you know, she definitely had two different personalities. So, I think we would have to do those case by case. And so if we leave it the way we have it, I guess we can say that they can apply and then what, we evaluate it?
Yeah, whether I think so. And say they're going to be approved, it says that they may apply. And then it would depend on what the situation is. Say, for instance, if they are schizophrenic and they have 15 personalities, then that's something we, you know, they can apply for, but that's something that say that we can't accommodate that due to the living situation. So, and, you know, each case, like you said, would be a case by case. They can apply, but it doesn't mean they're actually approved.
Yeah, we may be able to leave it as it is. Let's see how it's worded. Go back to
The way it is, it's saying that they may apply. That's all it says.
So we still have to deal with this from the standpoint of, we're talking about perspectives, right? May apply, but then we got to look at current YFCC members. What if they come up, you know, you develop a mental illness and you're already a member? Well, we would need to, I mean, I'm sure that we could get, we'd have to have access to some type of hospital somewhere in the area anyway.
Right.
Probably the closest one would be 30 or 40 miles, maybe 90 miles. But if somebody developed a mental disability that was debilitating and, you know, was causing problems, then we would definitely have to have, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an MD, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, so we would definitely have to have a way that we would be able to get those members seen and evaluated, which means that there's going to need to be some type of power of attorney. Because if you don't have a power of attorney, then you cannot do anything with them medically. And if that's the case, then the only option you have would be what, to kick them out? Because if you didn't know how to deal with them and you couldn't, and they wouldn't go get help, then what do you do?
Right.
Only thing you can do.
So we also need to talk about those things too, the community, and coming into this, we need to look at medical power of attorney being assigned to somebody, so that even if you become incapacitated, somebody needs to be able to act on your behalf.
Right.
So we need to also discuss those things as a group, and then, you know, and as a community, then we have to make that decision. How are we going to handle those things? Because, you know, it could be anything happen and you become medically disabled or incapacitated where you can't speak for yourself. Then we need to have some type of documentation on file that says in whatever situation what you want done, or who you give, you know, if it's a relative somewhere else or somebody in the community that you give authority to act on your behalf in that way. But we need to definitely look at this because we're remote and these are all possibilities. So how do you guys feel about that? If you were to become mentally or physically incapacitated, let's say you're unconscious and you need help, and if there's no medical power of attorney, nobody in the community could speak for you.
But how will we know if they're medically incompetent? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think if you walk around eating glass or eating bugs or you're physically unconscious and you can't be awakened, and we have to rush you to the hospital, you're still what, incapacitated?
Yeah.
And you still can't speak for yourself, so somebody needs to speak for you.
Yeah.
So we need to consider these things. So we sure don't want to get to where we just have to drop somebody off at the hospital and say, oh, well, you know, we don't have no say. We don't know what the brother or the sister want. We can't make any decisions. We can't say yay or nay to a procedure, anything like that. And these are very real things that can what happen.
Yeah.
So, especially if it's an emergency, if you're saying, well, I only want my immediate family to be able to do that, then it may take them a while to get there.
Right.
Or, you know, even to be able to, what, contact them? Yeah. So these are things that we definitely have to discuss, and I think it needs to be part of the contract.
I think
it needs to be part of the contract, so that we make sure that we're covered in these things. Because, you know, I personally would hate for us to get there and something happen and then, you know, we have no way of handling it.
Okay.
You know, that would be that would be a travesty. So I think that we can consider this. We don't have to answer it now. But I think that we need to include in the contract, part of one of the documents, is a medical power of attorney that is assigned to somebody in the community, whether it's an office, like the member services officer or the president or whoever. It needs to be that they have the ability to speak for an individual in the community if they are incapacitated. And we need to also have as part of the documentation, I think they're called living wills or whatever.
That's what it's called, a living will.
Yeah, so we need to have those on file so that we have that authority to speak for the person. And, you know, if it's, you know, they make their wishes known by their living will, what they want to happen. And, you know, and then the person who is on that or holds that office has that authority, then they have the authority to make that decision. Based upon, you know, and make it based upon what the person has previously identified.
Right.
For them. What you guys think about that?
Yeah, the living will sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Because I would hate for somebody to get sick or... And then not only the living will, the first, the second, secondary person, you know, to be responsible for that person.
Right.
In case a family member can't get there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, again, Lorraine, you're too quiet.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I'm not sure how I think about that because they're very sensitive matters and... when you say in the community, and I understand that people's families, it may be hard to get in touch with them, but it has to be someone that they trust and to make the right decision. So I don't know if it has to be someone within the community as long as they have a power of attorney, which is important. But if they don't have one, isn't it the doctor from a hospital that makes that decision?
Yeah, they can make that decision, but you know as well as I do that they don't always make the decision in your best interest.
Right, they don't, but they would make the decision if you didn't have one. I know that my nephew, he didn't have one, and the doctors and everything, they were going to take them off a life. That was what the doctor thought, you know, and his family, or it wasn't even his family, it was actually his girlfriend, had to go to court in order to get the doctor to stop them from doing that. So the doctors would make that decision if there is not one on file.
Yeah, now, me personally, just I would not want to leave that to some doctor in the ER.
Neither.
Versus somebody that I knew.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, but I'm just saying, you know, some people may want, you know, when you get in the community, they may want their, you know, another family member to be their power attorney who would make the right decision and best interest. And I think to be a person of their choice rather than someone in the community. That's just my opinion.
Okay. And my only thought with that is if it's an emergency and that's what they wanted, then we basically would just have to take them and drop them at the hospital.
Right.
Because we would have no say and wouldn't even have any legal anything to, you know, they basically were on their own.
Do we need a medical committee?
We probably would end up having to have one. But, you know, if we went how we are now and something happened to one of us, I'm just using this as an example, then if I said, you know what, I want somebody in Phoenix to make the decision, then you're basically your hands are tied.
Right.
You know, as to anything, if I want, you know, my immediate family to be able to make that decision. I think, not just me personally, it is going against, kind of going against our reason for being a community.
Right.
And that we actually genuinely care about each other, and we're going to look out for each other's best interests. So I think we also need to consider that.
But if you had a living will, it wouldn't matter what we said. It would be what that person said in the living will. So you wouldn't need to have anybody to make a decision because that living will is already deciding what they want done, right?
What they would want done if it's a matter of life and death. Because I think that's what the living will covers.
Yeah, they can decide, like some of them will have, you know, do they want them to not come off a life support or keep them on there as long as they can. Those are all, that is the decision that the living will, that they decide. So that when that situation comes, there won't be any thinking or needing any permission. They've already said what their wishes are. And
right.
That's what the doctors follow, what the doctors are.
And that covers the living will. I mean, that covers life and death. But what if you go, you're unconscious, and you need a certain procedure?
If you need a what?
You needed some type of certain procedure, some type of operation that was questionable.
Well, that is that's different than a living will. Then that would be you would need a
medical power of attorney.
Power of attorney for
right.
That. That's
right.
A little bit different than a living will, though.
Right. And so we talked about both. We talked about the living will, and we talked about the medical power of attorney. Again, we need to discuss how it's going to be done. If we leave it to the individual to choose, or if you choose somebody in the community, or if you choose somebody from at home, then we definitely, if we say you're going to choose somebody outside of the community, then we definitely need to be able to have their information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or emergency, everyone should have on their application an emergency contact person. I know for any time you go to the doctor's office, they have an emergency contact and the phone number and the relationship there that they can get in contact with in case there are any emergencies. So that could be included in the application to have an emergency contact person.
Okay. So what do you guys think? I know we're talking about this. So do we just want to go with an emergency contact? And or I think we give people the option. Just make sure that their information is up to date and kept up to date. It is. But we're dealing with matters where we are, life and death is going to come up. You know, it's not something that we can avoid. is not something that that we can just, you know, sweep it up under the carpet and say, okay, we'll talk about it sometime.
Right.
So, you know.
I was just saying, if a person has someone in their family that's not living in the community for their medical and their, you know, whatever. And if that person can't make it there, they should have a secondary person at the community that is able to make those decisions. And they just can't let nobody just stay there and die.
Well, I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree with that. My first thoughts are somebody in the community. And I myself would assign it to somebody in the community that I trusted to do it.
Right.
And the bottom line is, and that's for me, and I think everybody got to do that. But I know that when time is critical, you may not be able to reach somebody out of state. You may not be able to get a hold to them. And if it's not critical, then that's not a problem. But if it's a decision that needs to be made right then I don't really like to leave it up to doctors. Just like you said, the doctors are going to disconnect this young boy. Because as far as they were concerned, he was brain dead.
Right.
You know, and I know somebody who a friend that was here, her son took an overdose of heroin, trying to hide it from the police. And he was actually dead when they got him to the hospital, but they had him on life support. And so... But they would not disconnect him until she got there. And then she wasn't willing to disconnect him right away. So, you know, according to the doctor or the not the doctor, but the undertaker, the only thing that was keeping him alive was, the life support. He wasn't really alive. He had a little bit of brain activity. But he said, you know, for all practical purposes, he had been dead for a week. You know, his organs and everything had shut down, and the machine was just keeping him going. I know there's going to be situations that come up or could come up where it's an emergency and a decision will have to be made. And so, you know, we'll leave it with the emergency contact information. And I think what you said, Sister Mary, needs to be a secondary.
Yeah.
Somebody that's in the community that could make that decision if the primary couldn't be contacted.
Yeah.
But we need to make this as part of the policy, so required documents. So each one of us would have to have living will, and each one of us would have to have a medical power of attorney.
Right.
And then we would assign to whomever, you know, to be able to make that decision. Whoever we put on there, that's
what we do. If your medical person is not there on the community, then you need to make a secondary one. Well, that lives in the community. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. Then we're going to have to. Then we also have to have a stipulation in there. How long do you have to wait before you
contact
that you go to the secondary?
Well, it probably would depend on how critical the situation.
Right, since we don't know, then we would have to have that in there because it couldn't be. We could say certain type of situations if it's this or this, you know, if it's critical to this, then we can say, you know, you have to wait this long. If it's, let's say that they're just incapacitated, but they're not, their life is not threatened or whatever, meaning that they're not going to die anytime soon.
Nice.
Then, you know, you can say, okay, you got up to 72 hours, you got up to a week or whatever to try to contact the primary.
Right.
But if it's critical, life, you know, life or death situation, is going to be 24 hours, is going to be 72 hours, you know, what is it going to be before, you know, the secondary the secondary would be able to be kicked in. So maybe we make that a decision that that person makes themselves.
Right.
As part of that document.
Part of the bylaw.
Yeah. Well, be part of their medical power of attorney. They say the secondary can make this decision or has the authority to make a decision after this many hours if or however long they want if the primary can't be reached.
Okay.
Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah.
It makes.
So, I mean, if they put it in there after a week, then that's what we would be bound to what abide by.
Right.
So that's what their wishes were. If they die in between that time, then they just die. There's nothing that you can do about that.
It's time to go.
Right. But we would have to abide by that. So, yeah, I think that let me make a note here.
That's going to be for the mental and physical?
That's going to be for everybody. Because anybody can be subject to you don't even have to get hurt. You can just have a heart attack?
Right.
And become incapacitated. Anything can happen. So this would have to apply to everyone. Whether you got a medical or, you know, a mental disability or a medical disability, it's irrelevant on at this particular, you know, on this particular subject.
At this time, yeah.
So medical power of attorney and a living will. Any other legal document you think we need?
But I would think living will would kind of cover it. So you can put in there who you want to do what you want the need to be done.
Okay. Can anybody else think of any other document?
I can't right now.
In the living will, wouldn't that also contain your power of attorney, first and second heir?
I don't know if that's a part of the living will or not. I know the living will covers what do you want done in case it's a life or death situation.
Like if you need to have a medical procedure or operation or something like that,
yes.
A life-saving procedure, the medical power attorney can make that decision. Living will, there's nothing that needs to be decided because the person themselves already made that decision when it comes to life issues. So the only thing that, if they have that, then the only thing they would need to have is medical power attorney that can make decisions for them regarding any medical emergency
Yeah, I'm just going through here.
I don't have one. We all should have one, but I don't have either.
I don't either.
Well, y'all about to.
Do you marry?
Yeah, my insurance required me to make one.
Oh, okay.
Spring.
Yes.
So this is a living will, okay? And I'm just going to go through it because I have a subscription to this site for legal documents. So this is built for Arizona. Let's see. The first question they asked was, do you want to list your health care preferences so caregivers have instructions to follow? I said yes, okay. Have different rules and regulations. Your living will be customized for Arizona. And we'll have to talk about whether we need them for different states because if you're living in Arizona at that time, I think that's where it's going to apply. Do you want all forms of medical care if your condition is terminal with no reasonable hope of recovery? So that's a yes or a no. I'm going to put yes for right now to see what it says. But I think what it's meaning that the doctors can try everything that they want.
Yeah.
So this includes life support, tube feeding, comfort care, which is pain relief. Do you want a form of medical care? Do you want all forms of care if you are in a permanent coma and no hope of recovery?
No.
Great, yes. Thank
you. I won't give up on me.
No.
You sound like my mom did. Jump up and down on her chest. Up or out.
Do you want all forms of medical care if you are in a persistent vegetative state?
The racing, yeah.
I don't want anybody to get up on me. That's right. People have been maybe in a coma for years, and thinking that they never come out when they have.
Oh, yeah.
For that question?
I can for this right here.
Well, you can't make the decision for yourself. Do you want to make them for you?
Don't do nothing unless you get my permission.
I know.
Doesn't matter that I can't put you out. Yeah, that's kind of awesome.
I'm put my daughter in here for right now. This requires a lot of thought.
It do.
They keep me alive for any means.
Necessary.
Any means.
I've never thought about that one. I have to think about that one. All right, so let's read this, because this is what it would read like. And then we have to look and see, is there anything else that we would require? I revoke any prior durable health care or power of attorney in the event that I have been determined to be incapable of providing informal consent for medical treatment and surgical or diagnostic procedures. I wish to designate as my agent myself. So we know that this would be somebody else that we would be giving it to.
Right.
Appointment of alternative health care agent. If I revoke Horace Miles' authority, or if Horace Miles is not willing, able, or reasonably available to make a health care decision for me, I designate as my alternate. So this is where we could, so this could be, if you wanted somebody in your bloodline, your immediate family to do it, then you can put them here. And then this place right here could be for the alternate, somebody in the community.
That's what you're talking about. So I think that's good, because you would have an alternate
right.
in the community, someone who is readily available.
Correct. So we could cover that there. Agent's authority. My agent is authorized to act for me in all matters relating to my health care. My agent's powers include, but are not limited to, full power to consent, refuse consent, or withdraw consent to all medical, surgical, hospital, or related health care treatments and procedures on my behalf, according to my wishes as stated in this document or as stated in a separate living will, health care directive, or other similar type document, or as expressed to my agent by me. Full power. So they could, in that case, that last part, they could have just told you what they wanted done. Everybody understand that?
What say that again? They could have just told you what they wanted done.
Right. It says my agent is authorized to act for me in all matters relating to my health care. My agent's power include, but are not limited to, full power to consent, refuse consent, withdraw consent to all medical, surgical, hospital, or related health care treatments and procedures on my behalf, according to my wishes as stated in this document, or as stated in a separate living will, or as a health care directive, or a similar type document, or as what? Expressed to my agent by me. So they can say, yeah, but they told me something different. Full power to make decisions on whether to provide, withhold, or withdraw artificial nutrition and hydration on my behalf, according to my wishes as stated in this document, or as stated in a separate living will, same thing, full power to review or receive any information regarding my physical or mental health, including medical and hospital records, in accordance with the Health Insurance Affordability Act, HIPAA, American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2001, ARRA, so to get your medical information, full power to sign any release in order to obtain this information, full power to sign any document required to request, withdraw, or refuse treatment, or to be released or transferred to another medical facility. So in other words, you're giving, in this one right here, you're giving whoever that is full power over you. And then it says, my agent does not have the authority to act for me for any other purpose unrelated to my health care. All of my agent's actions under this power during any period when I am unable to make or communicate health care decisions have the same effect on my heirs, devisees, I don't even know what that word means. To whom real estate is left by the terms of a will. So if you had real estate that you were leaving to somebody, that would be the devisee. So saying this person doesn't have the authority to make any of those decisions.
Only the decision to be able to make it so, in medical.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Have the same effect on my heirs, devisees, or personal representatives if I were competent and acting for myself. Biden does not have the authority to act for me for any other purpose unrelated to my health care. all my agent's actions under this power during any period when I am unable to make or communicate healthcare decisions have the same effect on my heirs, advisees, or personal representatives as if I were competent and acting for myself. So this saying that whoever you name, if it's not your, if it's not one of your heirs, somebody that's a devisee or a personal representative, this person has what to, has say so even over what they want, as far as medical goes. So your heirs can't, you know, you can't say, let's say that I name somebody in the group and then my heirs want something else to happen. If I got somebody else named in this document, my heirs don't have a say, is what this is saying.
Right.
Okay. When agent's authority becomes effective, the designation of my healthcare agent will become effective on my inability to make or communicate healthcare decisions as determined by my attending physician and will remain in effect until my death or until I regain competence and revoke it. Okay, so the physician is the one that's going to say when it becomes what, active, effective? Okay. My agent will make healthcare decisions for me in accordance with this document and in accordance with any instructions I give in a living will, healthcare directive, or other such document, either included in this document or as a separate document. And my other wishes to be to the extent known to my agent. So again, the agent can say, well, they told me something different. Because that last sentence says that they can. Effective copy. A copy of this durable health care power of attorney has the same effect as the original. Severability. If any part or parts of this durable health care power of attorney is found to be invalid or illegal under applicable law by a court of competent jurisdiction, the illegality of such part or parts shall not be in any way affect the remaining parts, and this document shall be construed as though the invalid or illegal parts or parts had never been included herein. But if the intent of the durable health power of attorney, durable health care power of attorney, would be defeated by such construction, then it shall not be so construed. This durable health care power of attorney is made after careful reflection. While I am of sound mind, I am fully informed as to all content of this document and understand the full importance of this grant of powers to my agent. I fully understand that by signing this document, I will permit my agent to make health care decisions for me. I understand that my signature on this document gives my agent authority to provide, withhold, or withdraw consent to health care treatments or procedures on my behalf, to apply for public benefit, to defray the cost of my health care, and to authorize my admission to or transfer from a health care facility. I further affirm that I am not signing this document as a condition of treatment or admission to health care to a health care facility. Okay, statement of witness. I, the undersigned witness, declare that Horace Mosley, the person who signed this document, is personally known to me and appears to be of sound mind and acting of his own free will under no duress. He signed or asked that it is signed for him. This document is in my presence. I further declare that I am at least 18 years of age. I am not entitled to any portion of Horace Miles' estate, not financially responsible for Horace Miles' health care, not named as Horace Miles Jr. health care agent in this document, but I am not married to Horace Miles Jr. and not related to Horace Miles Jr. by blood or adoption. Okay, so this is somebody totally, what, unrelated? Is there not a notary public? Okay, if there is a notary public, then they would sign here. Then you'd have to list everybody that, what, you were going to give a copy of this document to?
No.
Okay, here's the living will portion of this. If I, Horace Miles Jr., become incapacitated and unable to direct my health care providers as to my own health care, I direct that this statement be read as a true reflection of my health care wish. For the purposes of the document, the following definitions apply. Artificially administered food and water, and artificial or artificial nutrition means the provision of nutrients or fluids by a tube inserted in the vein, under the skin, in the or in the stomach, gastrointestinal tract, gastrointestinal tract. Attending physician means the physician licensed by the State Board of Medicine, selected by or assigned to the patient, and who has primary responsibility for the treatment or care of the patient. Comfort care means treatment including prescription medication provided to the patient for the sole purpose of alleviating pain. Artificially administered food and water is not included. Health care provider or provider. Health care provider or provider means any person licensed, certified, or otherwise authorized by law to administer health care in the ordinary course of business or practice of a profession. Irreversible permanent coma means a profound state of unconsciousness caused by a disease, injury, poison, or other means for which it has been determined that there exists no reasonable expectation of regaining consciousness. Prolonging procedure or life-sustaining procedure means any medical procedure, treatment, or intervention which sustains, restores, or supplants spontaneous vital function. In this document, the term does not include sustenance and hydration administration, or the provision of medication or the performance of medical procedures when such medication or procedures deemed necessary to provide comfort care or to alleviate pain. Persistent vegetative state means a permanent or irreversible condition in which there is the absence of voluntary action or cognitive behavior of any kind, an inability to communicate or interact purposefully with the environment. Terminal condition means a condition caused by injury, disease, or illness from which there is no reasonable medical probability of recovery and which, without treatment, can be expected to cause death. Medical directions and end-of-life decisions. I direct that my health care provider and other involved in my care provide, withhold, or withdraw treatment in accordance with my directions below. Curable and irreversible terminal condition that will result in my death within a relatively short time. I direct that I be kept on any artificial life support as long as possible within the limits of the generally accepted health care standards. I be artificially administered food and water, even if that has the effect of prolonging my life. I be provided comfort care, relief from pain, including any pain reduction medication, even if doing so would prolong my life. If I am diagnosed as being in an irreversible coma to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, I will not regain consciousness. I direct that I be kept on any artificial life support as long as possible within the limits of generally accepted health care standards. I be artificially administered food and water, even if that has the effect of prolonging my life. I be provided comfort care and relief from pain, including any pain reduction medication, even if doing so would prolong my life. If I am diagnosed as being in a persistent vegetative state and to a reasonable degree of medical certainty, I will not regain consciousness. I direct that I be kept on any artificial life support as long as possible within the limits of generally accepted health care. So, Lorraine, you can use this one.
Well, let you just keep me laying there because
that's basically what this is saying. I'd be artificially administered food and water, even if that effect of prolonging my life. I'd be provided comfort care, relief from pain, including any reduction in medication, even if doing so would prolong my life. Additional instructions. I direct that I will have some instructions. I understand that I may change the above listed directive at any time by revoking this declaration and writing a new one. Effective copy. A copy of this living will has the same effect as the original. Severability. If any part or parts of this living will is found to be invalid or illegal under the applicable law, well, that's the same thing as the medical power of attorney statement. This document is made upon careful reflection. Options I have considered and rejected are not printed above. I confirm that the health care directions contained herein were made after careful consideration and full awareness of other options. Okay. Any other documents? document. Okay, so that's the full thing right there. So now we got a we got some type of clue of what's included, right?
Right.
Too bad I can't copy that. Okay. I already have this.
I have to log in if you already have it.
I already had this. Yeah. All right. So we see what that what's in that document. Final details.
Is that one?
I can always change it.
I was gonna say you need to change it because you have your self making decisions for your. Self, if you're
yeah, no, I can change it. I just wanted to see.
I don't trust the work.
Sure, it will. It can't do anything until I wake up. But it says to keep me alive, right? No matter what. That's what it's saying.
It does, but then it says also you would make decisions for yourself if you could not make decisions.
Right. I understand, and I will change that. But I'm just looking to see what other documents are here.
I think it's a good document. I think it's what you're just talking about is good because that one does have a time-limited person of the choosing, and then it has an alternate, which is good. So the alternate would be a member of the community. So I think that's a good document. No, that's not the power turn. It's a little different, right?
I just had both of them in it.
I'm sorry?
It had both of them.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's a power turn.
As a power of attorney, you would have to be specific. Do you want a medical power? Well, the living will lets them do all the stuff we talked about.
Yeah.
And then the power of attorney, your financial situation, that kind of stuff.
So you can have a medical power of attorney rather than a durable power of attorney.
I think the living will covers that medical power of attorney. That was all in there. This one, yeah, this one is different, but as part of the living will, the medical power of attorney is in there.
Okay.
The power of attorney, this one is for, remember that we were talking about that power of attorney in your living will doesn't cover your financial or your real estate or anything like that. It only covers medical decisions.
Right.
So these are the other documents, the last will and testament, attorney, your living will, the end of life span, what do you want, done with your body, that kind of stuff, and what type of funeral you want. Okay, so... just different legal documents. So yeah, I'll go through here and fill all these out. I need them anyway. But then as a community, we're going to need to do these similar documents and have them on file.
Okay.
Okay. Medical life insurance. What, $1 million? Okay. So that gives us, I just did that so that we have some type of idea of what's in there. Because I had not done this. I came on here to actually create a trust so that I could put Yah's Global Kingdom and Yeshron Farms up under the trust. Okay, so there. And Sister Mary says she already has one. So I'd recommend.
Will I have to do another one when I move to Arizona?
You probably will, because it will be governed by the state that you're in. But I do suggest that we make it a requirement where everybody has these documents on file.
Right.
As part of the contract.
Yes.
And whoever, you know, they put in there. Yeah, I think that since we see that they can have a primary and an alternate for that document, that we come up with a person, let's say it's going to, I think that is membership, so it's going to be the member services officer. Right now, who is that?
You talking to me?
Yeah, anybody.
Chip Office.
Yeah, who's the membership
officer.
Member services officer?
Is that Professor Sherry? Vice President?
No, that is that. That's the Vice President.
That's what I thought.
Okay, that's who would fall up under, right? That's who I'm thinking that we would put that up under.
Under the vice president?
Yeah, because it's membership. That's just my suggestion. We could come up with something else. Lorraine don't want to be killed up under no circumstances. I'm sure she's not going to have nobody else killed up under no circumstances.
That's right. You got that right. Y'all already know my wishes.
But Sister Lorraine, they're skin and bones. They like, I don't care if I'm a skeleton.
Okay, I might come back. Okay.
Okay. All right. So far tonight, did we?
No, that one has been done.
But I think we should put it in this section. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anywhere else where in here already. Tuckered in here. So I think that we either need to add a section for required documents.
All right. So can't you make that 11.04A?
I think it's so important that it should even be a sub of one of these.
Uh-huh.
Five, six, seven, 8.
Make it the last one. You don't have to renumber everything.
Yeah, I'll make it the last one in the section.
But I can see a beat over a player. So it's at the 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Huh?
The living will must
have it included. But we'll just list it there. If it's included with the living will, then it's just covered. All right.
Me and our plan.
Yeah.
Brother Miles, that single is not right.
Thank you. Okay. These 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 documents. I think should be required because unless you know, most of us, just like Sister Mary just moved to Tennessee. I don't know if you got a personal doctor there yet or not, but
I don't have one here yet.
Okay, so wherever you went, they wouldn't have any record of what your medical history. And so that document. Right. The personal care profile gives that, and as much as you want to tell, you know, the doctor or want it to be known, just in case instructions, compiles your personal, legal, and financial information with just in case instructions. That's for your, you know, your family. What do you want done? End of life plan. You know, what do you want done with your body? How do you want your funeral to be? The type of services, those types of things. And then the living will, you know, covers your medical, and I think the one that we were looking at also covers medical power of attorney. It was included in that document.
Right.
And it gives them that whoever the primary is gives them the authority to make medical decisions for you only. But it gives them full, you know, whatever you give, what power you give them in there. But it's a document that's supposed to be followed. So I think we should require these documents as part of the application. Anybody that, once they are what approved, does that make sense? You know, once somebody is approved to become a member, then these documents are required as part of their membership. Anybody have any thoughts otherwise?
No, that's pretty much what we've been talking about.
Okay. Sister Denise, Sister Lorraine?
No, I think it's fine. That's very inclusive. Everything.
Yes. My thoughts are exactly.
Okay. So I make a motion that we adopt Section 11.21 required legal document as written. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. So this will be part of the bylaw. If goes, this will be required. So we all will need to do this coming up in the near future. Okay.
I know I have to do it.
Amen. You know, I think all of us, except for Sister Mary, she already got her pass to the gate. But I'm ready.
Are you not my wish?
Yep. I don't care if she's a, put that IV in her bones. Okay, so I'm going to say we stop here for this evening. That's a lot. And we're already over, we're coming up on 3 hours. So we got a second that we stop here. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, this meeting is officially adjourned. And Sister Denise, if you would pray us out this evening.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this meeting and this law we put in place today, Father. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen to either one. All right. So we will pick this back up with, let's unadjourn the meeting for a minute. I want to vote on Section 11.04.
I second.
So I make a motion that we restart the meeting and we'll re-adjourn it in just a second.
Okay, restart?
Yeah. We're going to vote on Section 11.04 because we did talk about it tonight. I think we came to a decision. All prospective or current YFCC members may apply for a reasonable accommodation or a modification on the basis of a physical or mental disability at any time during their membership application process or residency at the YFCC Cooperative Pod. YFCC members are tenants in YFCC Cooperative Pod, and prospective members are those who are applying for membership tenants. So we just say that they can apply for a reasonable accommodation. Doesn't mean that it's going to be what approved. That in there. Say it well enough.
Automatically.
approval.
Approval.
Okay. Anybody have a problem with that wording? 11.4 as written?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 11.0.4 is approved as written. And section 11.21. So we will start next meeting with section 11.0.5.
05, yes.
Okay. Okay. All right, so we'll start on 11.05 on next week. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, Saint, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Shalom.
Where is the room at? Where is Blog Talk at? Okay.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, my sister.
Shalom.
Shalom, family. Peace and blessings, everyone.
Oh,